Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the show. Today's Friday, July 17th. We're back with you, ready for the weekend, right, Jen?
Yes.
Are you ready?
I am.
Yeah. It's hard not to be ready on Friday.
Right.
Right? Whatever, right? I have a family coming into town this weekend. My new nephew, who's like 3 months old or something. And I got to go pick him up during rush hour on Friday to LAX.
Today?
Today.
Ah.
Yeah, they made it early, I guess, and they're flying directly from Shanghai. So, yeah. So, you know, I mean, they're going to be sitting in the plane for so many hours. How can I complain?
Right.
About going to the airport, right?
Exactly.
But, hey, I can complain if I want to. I don't like traffic. Who does, right?
I don't know anyone that does. Last night I sat in an hour worth of traffic to get to Santa Monica. That was not fun.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was that like during rush hour?
I mean, no. It was like around, what time did we leave? 7:30.
Mm.
And we were supposed to be at dinner reservations for my friend's birthday at 8. And it took us probably a full hour. So we got there at 8:30. Late to her own birthday.
Wow.
An Uber SUV full of girls. Right. And I think it was because there was like concerts on the beach last night.
Mm.
Like they do those Thursday night concerts at the pier. So
There
was so much traffic. It was miserable.
Wow. Well, I'm glad I didn't drive Uber last night.
Yeah, Thursday nights heading to Santa Monica, not a good thing.
Right. Wow. I mean, I've driven that area on Thursday nights, and it's never been that bad. So maybe there's something going on. I don't know.
Well, it's the concerts that just
started. Right, yeah, right. Yeah. But did they just start,
yeah,
though? Oh, okay. That's why.
Yeah.
All right. Why is it so damn warm in here again?
I don't know. The humidity in this studio is...
I know. And then they fixed it by the time we left. But now again, I'm like sweating in here.
I
don't know. Yeah.
I'm not that bad. Like yesterday was really hot. Today is not as bad.
Yeah.
Then again, I'm wearing less clothes.
Yeah. So. You dressed more for the heat. Then, you know, it becomes bearable. But still, you know, I mean, you sit here in an office. You can't open the windows.
Right.
And, you know, you have to sit here like a sauna. So, we were scheduled to have a guest in here, but we're certain about it as you are, folks, because she's not here yet. So we'll see. I didn't prepare like a whole show, so we're going to have to sort of wing it because I was sure she was coming. I don't know why.
Maybe she is. Maybe there's an accident or something.
Maybe there is, yeah. That's usually the case in L.A., accidents on the freeways.
Yep.
Yeah. And if the accident doesn't block the freeway, then people just slow down to see what happened. It's called rubbernecking.
Right.
And people have to see what happened. You know, we just see flashing lights on the freeway and we're drawn to it. You know?
I mean, listen, people watch the news to hear what happened. Of course, they're going to drive by things and want to know what happened.
Right. Yeah. People are curious. That's it. And besides, I think also the freeway is so monotonous that when something happens, it's like
right.
It stands out. You know, everybody notices it.
I saw there's going to be an interesting news story tonight on Dateline with Lester Holt. It's about kids growing up with phones and being detached emotionally, but like connected to social media and having like anxiety because of it and likes and posts and all of that and having social anxiety. So I think that's going to be an interesting thing.
Yeah, I know. It sounds pretty good.
Especially since yesterday we were talking about that
right.
with Steve Smith about how kids, you know, don't even go outside and play sports anymore because they're so attached to their phones.
Right. So this is going to be like a documentary sort of thing.
Yeah. Okay. Well, no, it's a news story. So.
Oh, just a news story.
On
okay.
Dateline, yeah.
I see. Wow, that'll be pretty interesting to see. I mean, every adult is concerned today with the way the kids are so attached. But they're just copying us, you know. I mean, they're modeling what we do. And I think there's a lot of adults that are guilty of the same thing.
Yeah.
Many of them. And the funny thing is that it used to be rude when people would talk on the phone when you're with them. But today it's sort of like accepted. You know, everybody does that. So, it's not like, I feel like you're not in the moment. You know, right. I try not to be on the phone when I'm out with people.
It's a good rule of thumb. I actually was talking to a girlfriend at dinner last night because it was like 13 of us for, you know, dinner. And one of them was sitting next to me and she was saying how she didn't mind if like people were on their phones around her. And we're sitting at the dinner table and she just said, like, go for it. I totally understand. I support it. I'm like, no, it's rude. It's one thing to show you something on the phone.
Right.
And then we're connected to each other talking about a similar topic. But like, it's another thing to completely shut down and just like be in your own world on your phone. Because why are you at a table with people then?
Right. Exactly. And why are you there in the first place?
Right.
I think it implies like the person on the line is more important than the people around you.
Which ironically, like if you were with the person you're texting somewhere else, you would be talking to the people that you're sitting at. You'd happen.
Exactly.
It's like vice versa. So
always have to be connected somehow. Huh?
Exactly. So I think people just like a distraction, or they like to be doing. They like to be on their phone.
Right. Yeah. But there's got to be a reason. You know, that's what I'm saying. I mean,
I think people feel like they're missing something if they're not responding to people immediately, or if they are not in the know with what's happening on Instagram right away and like looking at pictures and interacting.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Half the times when I see somebody, I'm like curious to see what they're doing on the phone. They're playing games, you know. So what's up with that? I have no idea. But you know what? Then I've always had problems with phones too, because, you know, when you go like, I don't know if you've ever been to like, any store where you're dealing with the guy or the girl that works there, and suddenly the phone rings and then they start answering the phone and talking on the phone, and you're standing there waiting while, you know, like sometimes it happens when I order food or something, you know. This happened to me, I don't know, in places where people call in to order and things like that. It just, I think it's so rude, you know, because I'm already here. You know, you got to give me more time than the person on the phone, I think.
Yeah.
That didn't make the effort to come here. And so it's just rude all over, you know, and young people are doing that. For them, it's just an acceptable thing, you know. I know sometimes people just use their phone so they don't have to connect with someone.
Right.
It's like intentional, I think.
Right.
You know. Like to, I know sometimes if I see somebody I don't want to talk to, or something like a neighbor or something, you know, I have a neighbor that I don't speak to because I hate them. Oh. So I just pretend I'm on my phone.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good tactic. And
yeah, so you can hide.
Diversion tactic.
Hide behind the phone.
Yeah. I just really hate when people, like if you go to dinner with like one person, and then that person's on the phone because you're like, there's nobody else here.
Right.
Like, we're literally here together. We chose to be here together. Or, like, if you're on a date, if the best thing that somebody's ever done is, like, leave their phone in the car.
Yeah, huh? Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, you don't need the phone when you're going to dinner with someone.
Yeah, especially if you know the person. Like, it's one thing if you don't and you're like, I need a phone for safety.
Right.
But it's like, if you know the person and you chose to spend time with that person, you should probably just pay attention to that person.
Yeah.
A girlfriend of mine actually went on a date 2 days ago, like a coffee date during the day. And she was with a guy for like an hour. And this was her first time meeting him. And he was like, well, do you want to feed your meter? Or do you want to just go? Like, I totally understand. And she's like, oh no, I'll feed the meter. So she fed the meter, came back. And then like, they hung out another hour. And she's like, it was like a flip switched and he became this weird person, and maybe it was the coffee that finally set in. But she said he went to the bathroom and sent her pictures from the bathroom, but they weren't pictures from that moment. They were pictures from like the flick that he had in his phone saved from another time of like him topless.
Really?
And he was like, happy birthday, because it was her birthday. And so he sent her these photos and she's like, oh my god, I need to escape.
Wow.
Like, what do I do? Yeah. Like, so I don't know. That was like a weird phone
it's
scenario.
It's very weird.
He texted her while they were together, but it was like a weird thing. I don't
know. Wow. Yeah. That's amazing. Oh, our guest is here. So, let's just finish the thought, though. Here, have a seat right here, Katie. And yeah, so I mean, that's weird, you know. I don't
Very
know that
weird. People
yeah.
do weird things with their phones.
They do, and this is his first date, you know. I mean, you want to be like on your best behavior. And stuff.
Maybe he thought that was his best behavior.
Yeah, huh?
He did say to her that he's an acquired taste.
Yeah,
and while we all probably are, like, I just don't know whose taste that would be.
Right. Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know, talking about phones and everything, what can he do? Okay, well, our guest just joined us, Katie Cleary. Welcome to the show, Katie.
Thanks for having me.
Of
How's
course.
Going?
So you made it through traffic this
oh,
morning.
Oh, the traffic was horrible. I apologize. Yeah. LA traffic. What are you going to do?
I know. I know. So how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing good. I'm doing yeah. good. Yeah.
Thank you for coming in.
We're waiting for me in the morning. Like, yeah. they're going to feed me. I'm like, ah. Oh, yeah. No, I've got seven of them, so it's a little crazy at my house.
Whoa. What kind of animals do you have?
I've got four dogs and three cats, so they're all rescued.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, that's a lot of pets.
Yeah, Husky, wow. German Shepherd, Alaskan Malamute. Oh, my God.
So are you fostering them, or are they permanent?
Those are my permanent ones, the seven.
Wow.
Yeah, I had 10. I had a couple birds that I had to find a home for. But we're always, you know, rescuing and rehabilitating them, and kittens to puppies to birds to everything. So,
wow.
Yeah.
I mean, that must have taken you a while to accumulate all these animals.
Well, you know, over the years, you know, I'll find them on the street or, you know, go to the shelter, and I'll say, like, this one really needs a really good home. So, you know, right. yeah, it's one of those things, you know. It's,
yeah,
I just find them. They kind of come to me.
Yeah. I know a lot of people feel that they want to rescue every dog that they see or cat, but it's impossible to adopt each one of them.
I know.
And
it's really difficult.
So what do you do if you find like a dog on the street or something? What's a person to do?
Well, you know, honestly, I would just take them to the vet. The first mm-hmm. thing, and if you can't afford a vet, I would call one of like the local rescues. There's so many rescues in every city, so and there's a million that just want to help. And the yeah. thing is that, you know, right now it's kitten and puppy season, so it's the shelters are over, you know, over flooded.
There's a real season for that?
Yeah, it's a spring. It's the breeding season.
I
so
see.
Now it's kitten season.
That's when they enjoy making love outdoors.
Yeah, right. A lot of animals summer. Get put down, unfortunately, because wow. they can't find homes. So, you know, I would encourage people to, if you do find an animal, don't take it to the shelter automatically because the chances of them finding a home are pretty slim.
Really?
So, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So the shelters are overcrowded.
Oh, beyond overcrowded.
Right.
It's horrible. They're euthanizing animals every day wow. because they can't find homes and they have to make room for more animals. So
right.
we're trying to make Los Angeles no kill, but it's very difficult when there's just so many strays and people are not spay and neutering their pets. And that's
right.
that's the key thing to do is spay and neuter.
So what is the reason? Is that because people just breed them or let them have babies without really
without
any control or any
I mean there's tons of strays and so you know with the cats are they breed so like rabbits so
yeah.
there's so many kittens and it's like what do? You know you gotta trap and release so a lot of people do trap feral cats and then they fix them and they release them and they take a little part of their I mean some people don't agree with this but in order to for the rescues to identify what cat has been you know, spayed or neutered, they take a little piece of their ear. So if you see a
cat. That's why they do that?
Yeah, if you see a cat with a little piece
of their
ear.
I thought that was a birth defect.
The top of their ear missing, it's because they've been fixed. So they can, you know, lets other rescues know.
Oh, wow.
Which
you see,
great.
You learn
yeah.
something new every day.
Yeah. I really thought that was like a birth defect where they got into a kitty fight on the street or something.
Originally, I thought that. I was like, there's a lot of cats with little pieces of their ear missing.
That's it's interesting.
What a coincidence.
I know, right? So, yeah. But it's important to rescue, adopt, not shop, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. So from what you guys gathered, Katie is involved with animals. You produced and created actually a film called Give Me Shelter.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about the film.
Yeah, it's I started in 2012 after I founded Peace for Animals, and really I just wanted to figure out how I could do more. And the only way I could really do more is using entertainment and what I know as a platform to raise awareness for animal welfare issues. So specifically, Peace for Animals was founded, my foundation, actually a couple months before I started filming the movie, specifically about endangered species. So tiger conservation, what's happening with the ivory trade and elephants in Africa right now, in Zimbabwe, selling their elephants to China. It's really horrible. We're trying to work on a lot of different campaigns, but my passion is endangered species. I love all animals. So really I thought, you know, I had an epiphany. I woke up one morning and literally just came into my head, this name, Give Me Shelter, and why don't I do a documentary and ask all my friends in entertainment who have a platform, who have a voice, and who people love to listen to, like Rick O'Berry from The Cove and Allison Eastwood, Michael Vartan, Isai Morales. And I just asked them, you know, would they like to be a part of this documentary that I'm thinking of doing, and I'm going to fund it myself and create it and have Peace for Animals back it.
Wow.
And they all said yes. And the first person I actually called before I called any of them was my best friend, Kristen Rizzo from Chicago. And I said, Kristen, I know that, you know, your major is theater and directing and producing. I would love for you to direct this film. And she goes, you're crazy. I'm like, yeah. I don't know. I'm like, I think we need to do it. It's going to be called Give Me Shelter. And she goes, okay. She goes, I trust you. I said, well, you need to move out to L.A. And so she moved out to L.A. for 2 years, and it took 3 years to do the film.
Really?
And it finally got picked up on Netflix.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, congratulations.
Thanks. That's thanks. Cool. Hopefully many more to come.
Yeah.
We'll see.
How long a film is it?
It's an hour and a half.
An hour and a
yeah,
half?
Yeah, hour
wow,
and a half.
That's a long time.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we had 77 hours of footage, and we cut it down.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, it was a lot of footage.
That's a lot of footage. A
lot of footage, yeah. And so, and it really it was just about, you know, getting people on board that have the same passion and compassion. And I'm not, you know, it's not about making any of the money I put into it back. It's really just about the fact that these animals are going extinct.
Yeah.
And in our lifetime, we might see the big five in Africa gone. And
all of them?
Yeah.
Really?
It's really bad.
Wow.
Really bad.
So yeah. they're really hunting them.
The Western rhino just went extinct.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. There's only one left in Sudan. Being guarded 24 hours a day by four guards, one
really?
Male, and they're
wow.
not able to breed them. That's the problem.
Yeah,
some
huh?
of these too old, so it's bad. They're only left in Eastern Africa. They kill 100,000 elephants a year for their ivory.
100,000 elephants
yeah,
a
for
year
for their ivory. It's worth wow. more than gold right now.
Oof. Yeah. Why do people want ivory? I mean, why? I mean,
it's
what's
a sign
the
of wealth, right?
Yeah, in Asia. Yeah,
a sign of what?
Wealth.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it would probably cost a lot to kill an elephant and get the ivory from it.
Yeah.
But that's a lot of animals,
lot
you know, and that's just
yeah.
the elephants.
Just the elephants. I mean, the rhinos are, there's hardly any rhinos left. It's really important. There's like probably only 5,000 total in the wild. There's more rhinos and tigers and lions in captivity than there are in the wild.
Really?
And that's just, I mean, we're in really crucial time right now.
Yeah.
And I believe, I mean, I've always, when I grew up, you know, rescuing animals with my mom in Chicago and kittens, puppies, you know, everything, some wildlife. And I always knew animal welfare was where I was going to be headed. I just didn't know in what capacity. So
really?
It was
gonna be, wow. So this was early on in life.
Oh,
you already knew
yeah,
that.
Yeah. Either a veterinarian or a zoologist. I was like, that's a little too much school. Maybe I should just have my own foundation. So now fast forward. But, you know, I think it's important because we have such a, this is like something told me yesterday. It's a broadcast of light. This entertainment business, and a lot of people don't use it for that. They use it for negative reasons. And so if we can use this town, the City of Angels, as a broadcast of light, like it should be,
right,
you know, I think that we could really make a difference around the world, because this is where everything, all the information comes from.
That's true. Yeah,
you know, and
that's where it's all happening.
Yeah,
right here.
But a lot of people don't use it for the greater good, and so
right.
I think that we can build a community, not just about animals,
right.
about everything, the
yeah.
planet. I mean, the planet's in peril right now.
Yeah, that's true. So you've always been very involved with the environment and everything, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
From a young age.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. How did you know that? Did you just like empathize with animals when you were early on?
Or? I think so.
Really?
I think it was a calling from God.
Really?
I really
huh?
do. I really do, because I don't know. I
yeah.
just was like, I feel like I'm put here for this purpose, to be their voice and to get more people on board and spread awareness and spread compassion and love. And I mean, I, you know, that's the only way we can really save this world.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
So so you're concerned with the environment too?
Yeah. Very
right?
concerned. Very concerned.
So, I mean, what are people doing about all this? You know, I mean, there's like animal killing all over the world,
yeah.
every possible animal. We have a show here that's called State of the Oceans, and they talk about, it's a group that that they go after whalers, people that kill whales and dolphins and things mm-hmm. like that, you know.
Yeah.
And they actually confront them, you know. They go on boats, and they try to keep them from actually doing that. You know, so there's a lot of a lot of stuff going on, you know, and I guess those are cultures that don't really value the animals the way we do, right?
Yeah.
They value more what they can get out of them.
Exactly, exactly. And that's right. An unfortunate thing. I mean, Sea Shepherd is doing great work, you know, and yeah. Captain Paul Watson with State of the Oceans. They're great, you know, and the thing is that it's unfortunate because there's no law against whaling in the Southern Ocean. So.
Oh, really?
No, because it's international waters. So we have to instate a law now in order to protect these whales because, you know, they're saying, Asia's saying, oh, you know, or Japan, you know, we're using this for scientific purposes. You know,
what are those purposes? That's why we're hunting.
They don't tell you.
Yeah.
So they'll say like, oh, you know, they'll hold big signs up, you know, when Sea Shepherd, you'll see the aerial shots of all the ships and the whaling. And they'll pull up these whales and it's just horrible. Like the sea is red with blood.
Yeah.
And I just look at it like, I don't understand why we need to be doing that. Why? We're all connected.
Right, right.
You know, so whatever we do to one species comes back to us inevitably.
Right. But it's a question of different cultures as well, you know. I mean, look, like the Chinese, they'll eat dogs and stuff like that.
The Yulin dog festival, I'm sure.
Yeah, you know.
You have probably opinions
God,
on that.
Yeah, yeah, no, yeah, I'm on that campaign.
So, that's, you know, crazy. I mean, so the question is sometimes, are there like universal values, you know, or like, is it all based on culture? Because if to them, it's not a big deal. I mean, because look, for us, for most people, it's not a big deal to eat cows and sheep and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
So for them, it's probably just natural to do that. But so I think it's a question of culture, you know, and maybe in some cultures, it's okay to kill those animals, the whales and the elephants and all that. Not that it's the right thing to do, but maybe they need to be re-educated.
I think it's people. Education. Yeah, education awareness is key because without education, how are you going to change anything if you don't know about it? You know.
Right.
So they say it's cultural, and yeah, there's a little bit of that, but every human knows what's right and what's wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you see an animal suffering, and you're throwing a dog into a boiling, you know, scalding pot of hot water in Yulin, you know, because they want to torture these animals to make their meat tender, which is so ridiculous.
Are you serious?
In order to eat them. So it's like, you know, the more they beat them, the more they torture them, the meat's going to be tender, which is... It's crazy to me.
Yeah.
It's crazy to me. How could you do that to another sentient being?
Right.
They're so incredibly smart. And it's just this negative, then you're eating negative energy. You're eating like, you're putting out evil because you're torturing this animal. And then you're going to be eating that.
Right.
The energy's not lost. It's just transferred.
Right.
So how could you do that? How could they think that it's right to do that? And a lot of people say, yeah, what about cows and sheep and all that? Personally, I don't eat any animals. Since,
right.
I mean... You know, growing up, it was different because I really, you know, my family was Italian and Irish and they were big meat eaters. And then, you know, I kind of realized, okay, I started with veal and then I started with like, okay, I'm not going to eat veal. I'm not going to eat fogo. I would tell my grandmother and then I kind of graduated. I'm not going to eat red meat.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm not going to eat chicken. And then so I kind of went from there. And then I saw my friend Sean Monson's film Earthlings. And when I saw Earthlings, I was like, there's no way I could touch another piece of meat not knowing what's happening to the meat that you're getting in the grocery store.
Right.
Not knowing.
We prefer not to know, right?
Well, a lot of these animals have like abscesses. They've got tumors. They've got, and then I've seen videos where they'll see the tumor. There's this pink stuff coming out of the tumor and then they clean it, right? And it's still there. And then they'll serve it. So it's like, oh, let's clean the tumor and then we'll still give it to our customers. I don't understand that. So you really don't know what you're eating. And that's the scary thing. You don't know how the animals are treated. You don't know how they're abused. And then you're eating that. So it's like, you know, I feel much better vegetarian.
Yeah.
I feel like, I don't know. I feel much healthier, lighter.
Yeah.
You know, and there's tons of great vegetarian, vegan places in LA. There's tons.
We do have a lot here. But there are, like, you know, states in this country that don't have anything.
I know.
That can help. And
I know.
They don't educate people there. And, like, in the school systems, I mean, that's a big thing, too. But
yeah.
Here we have plenty of restaurants.
Yeah.
We have, like, Crossroads. We like fine dining restaurants.
I love Crossroads. It's great. Meatless Monday. You just start with one day a week.
That's a good idea.
And then you can save. I mean, just on that day, millions of animals' lives will be saved.
Yeah.
Just one day.
But, you know, the thing is, from the beginning of time, man was a hunter, you know? I mean, so it's...
They also had nothing else to do. Can we talk about it? Like, what were they going to do then?
Well, they could grow fields and everything with corn and...
Okay, and then what? When they're waiting for the corn to grow.
Well, you know, like, I mean, it's not, they don't always have to, you know, so you store some of it.
They didn't have cell phones back then. They had, like,
right,
you know, starting fire with, like, rocks.
Yeah, if it's different. Right. If you're going hunting and you're going to eat what you've hunted, right, that's, I think that's a much different story.
No, no, that's you're true. I'm not hunting for sport at all.
No, it's ridiculous.
I'm just saying, though, that, you know, we eat cows and everything, and for the most part, we grow them in order to eat them, you know, so it's not like they would exist otherwise, probably. But there's arguments for and against, you know. I mean, the bottom line is, you're killing an animal, you're killing a living thing, you know. Mm-hmm. And when they say they try to do it painlessly and stuff, I don't know about that.
There's no humane way to kill an animal. Let's just put it that way. They feel fear. They know it's going to happen.
Right. You know? Wow. And that's the thing. They're totally stressed out. How do you, you know, why would you want to eat the meat when they're killed stressed out?
Well, it changes the composition too. Like, you know, our bodies, I don't know if you know the Japanese scientist that did the study on water, actually. And what he did is he exposed these bottles of water to negative energy. So, like, you know, either wrote negative words on the bottles or negative, like hard, you know, heavy, crazy rock music or whatever. Like, he exposed it to different, you know, different negative energy and then different positive energy. So he did this this interesting group. It was, so he put the water bottles in the freezer, and there's different crystals that form. So, like, really beautiful crystals from the positive and really, like, horrible negative, like, nasty crystals for the negative. So so our bodies are 70% water. So is the ocean. I mean, the planet.
The planet, right.
So think about it, you know, our bodies react to negative and positive energy, and it changes the composition of your body. So, you know, someone saying a negative word to you, it's going to react, you're going to react negatively to it.
Right.
So, you know, it's the same as, you know, fear. These animals, you know, are the same as us.
Fear, right.
So if they have fear, you know, it's going to transfer into what you're eating.
Right.
So...
Wow.
Sad.
Yeah, I have to look up the scientist. He's an amazing Japanese scientist that came up with this, and it's like it's phenomenal. It means that we could pretty much by thinking and praying and putting positive words in the universe, we could heal the ocean.
Right.
If enough of us did it.
Right.
So I think, you know, just putting that positive energy and out there in the universe and praying and do whatever you can to, you know, to make this world a better place, we can. If enough of us did it, we could.
Right.
100%. I believe in it.
Right. Yeah.
There's studies.
It's just most of us are too busy with our daily lives, you know, to notice that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but it takes like 5 minutes, you know, just to say a prayer or bless somebody. That's like the most powerful thing you can do is bless the world, and it's worked.
Yeah.
Every single thing I've done has come true.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. Very cool.
Every single thing.
So you make things happen and stuff.
I try. I try. It's a hard business though.
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah. You go up against a lot of people that are just here for the bottom line.
Yeah.
You know, just to line their pockets.
Yeah. Well, it's business, you know.
It's business, yeah.
Yeah. So now, so you got into, is this the first film that you produced?
Yeah, it's the first film.
Wow.
Yeah, I'd never produced a film before.
So how did you find out how to do it?
I didn't. I just took all the knowledge from the entertainment business and the different sets and movies I've been a part of, and it's like, okay, well, I've seen this done before. I'm going to do it this way. And hire, you know, a great cinematographer and, you know, sound and editing and, you know, and great people to be on camera.
Yeah.
And we
So you've
it.
Been in entertainment before that?
Yeah. I started out in entertainment when I was 12.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
In what capacity?
Yeah. Modeling and acting. Yeah.
Wow.
So
very
in Chicago.
Cool.
Yeah.
Was that something you wanted to do, or your mom sort of like talked you into it?
No. You know, she didn't want me to do it.
She didn't want me.
I was like, oh, God, I really want to be, you know, top model or whatever and act and do the whole thing. And she goes, it's a tough business, Katie. You know, I don't know if you want to do that. And so she was, you know, she came on board a little bit later in the game, but I would have like other people take me to auditions in Chicago. And I started, I was really, really young and really green. And I'm glad I started then, because now I know. Fast forward to almost 34, I'm like, oh my God, I know exactly what I'm doing now. So
it's amazing
where I
want to
go.
How people can be so young and already think about these things and almost be certain that's what they want to do.
Yeah.
You know?
And some people don't know.
Yeah.
You know,
no, sometimes it happens late in life.
Yeah.
You know,
everybody
develops at different
exactly.
at different rates.
Yeah.
So what was it like growing up in Chicago? Do you have any siblings?
I know, I'm only child.
Really?
Yeah, me too.
By a single mom. Yay. Don't have that only child syndrome, so that's good. But
Don't you hate when people are like, oh, you're an only child?
No, I mean,
so that's why.
I know.
It's like, no, actually, I'm pretty normal and I share my food. Leave me alone.
Exactly.
Yeah,
like,
don't feel sorry for me, right?
Yeah, right.
Think, what is that all about?
It makes you
stigma.
Work harder.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, I don't know. I had all the pressure on me, all like the, you know, to do good and to, you know, succeed. And it was like, I felt like, oh, God, if I don't do this, what am I going to, you know, I'm only child. What do we do? So,
right.
Yeah. So I had, yeah. Working.
But you're right. There's like a lot of expectations on you. So, you know, from a young age, you probably already start thinking, well, what am I going to do? You know?
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Definitely. And my mom was very strong. She raised me from when I was 10 months old. And so she was just
really
an amazing, strong woman. And that's what gave me the idea to come out here on my own and just pursue. You know, my dreams out here. So.
Was she working while she raised you as well?
Yeah, she was working full time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see. So, that's hard, man.
It's hard. It's difficult. Yeah, I really hand it to her. I don't know if I could do that.
Yeah.
So
you started in modeling early on and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Did you, what else? I mean, did you do any acting? Did you have any interest in that?
Yeah, well, you know, in Chicago, actually in college, I did America's Next Top Model. That was... It was a little bit later, though, when I started modeling. It was 2003 when I did the first season of the show. But before that, I really wanted to get some experience on different sets. So I did The Breakup, Derailed, Stranger Than Fiction. And I did like a lot of like little parts and then some stand-in stuff, you know, just to kind of really get familiar of how these movies are filmed. And met a lot of great people, you know.
And this was all in Chicago?
This was all in Chicago. It was like four big movies kind of happening at once. And I was like, oh my gosh. So like I stood in for Sandra Bullock. I worked with,
sounds great.
Jennifer Aniston. Yeah, it was really great. Vince Vaughn. And it was fun, you know. And then you just get to know people. And then, you know, thank God I did that because now I know what I'm, you know, the direction I'm going.
Right.
Living in L.A.
So, right. Yeah. Cool. So now, you finally decided Chicago is like too confining for you?
Hey, I love Chicago. It's great. But I really think that, you know, for what I need to do and the people I need to reach, I need to be in L.A.
You need to be here, right?
Yeah.
Did your mom move with you?
No. She's still in Chicago. I'm still trying to get her out here. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's still there. She's like, I love the weather out there. I'm going to be there in the next 5 years. I'm like, you better hurry up.
Yeah.
You'll be falling in the ocean soon.
Either that or just, have a desert around.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. And so cool. So how long have you been in L.A. now?
10 years.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, so you're a native now.
I guess I'm after 7 years, right?
Right.
I'm a native, I don't know.
You're a local.
Yeah. No, I love it here. I do love it. I love the weather. I love the fact that you could drive to, you know, Santa Barbara and you can go to Santa Monica and wherever. I mean, Palm Springs and you're on vacation.
Yeah.
You know, it's so close.
That's true.
Yeah.
So now the film is complete now, right?
It's complete.
Give Me Shelter.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys can find out more on the website. It's give-me-shelter.com. And you can find out more about the movie and... I see there's a lot of stuff on the movie here. And I see you're available everywhere, really, on iTunes and Amazon and
everywhere.
Google Play.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, now,
so how do you work on distribution like that? Tell us a little bit about that. How do you get Netflix to carry your film?
Honestly, you really want to know?
Yeah.
Giving away a big secret, guys. Okay. Well, there's a website that you can go on, and it's part of IMDb. Mm-hmm. And you just sign up and just look at the distribution companies of all the documentaries. I mean, that's really what the top documentaries that would be similar to Give Me Shelter.
Right.
So I just started cold calling distribution companies.
Wow.
Got the number and, you know, have to definitely get the right name of the person because you want to just be like, hey, so I've got this movie, you know. So, yeah, I started cold calling. It took me a couple months to get distribution.
Wow.
But I didn't know Netflix was going to pick it up. I just thought, okay, well, you know, maybe we could either get in some theaters. You know, if we don't get in theaters, maybe we could do, you know, like the iTunes and things like that. And I guess it was doing really well on iTunes and Amazon. And I think Netflix took notice.
Yeah.
And so then they called the distribution company and said, we'd like to offer you guys a deal on Give Me Shelter. And I was like, oh my God, I'm freaking out right now.
Yeah, wow.
Because it's really just about getting it out there so more people can be aware of what's happening.
Right.
You know, and spread compassion, like I said, and love and the fact that we're all connected.
Yeah.
So, you know, and we're actually going international. So we've got a link that will be on give-me-shelter.com. And, everyone from around the world has been asking, like, okay, from the UK to Europe, how can we watch this? Because it was just in the US on Netflix. So now you can watch it internationally on the website.
Cool. So,
yeah.
Cool.
Which is great.
For those of you just joining us, we're talking to Katie Cleary, who produced, created the film Give Me Shelter. And it's available just about anywhere for downloading now, on demand and stuff. And I see there's also a little trailer on the website as well.
Yes.
So I watched the trailer, and the monkey killed me when they were carrying the monkey on the stretcher.
Oh, my God.
I know. Like, I don't know why that animal, of all the ones you talk about, I was just like, that poor guy.
Because of palm oil. Yeah. In Borneo. It's
I didn't even know about palm oil, and now I'm like, crap. I always read, you know, labels on things because of the calories. Now I'm like, shit, I gotta look for palm oil too now.
Yeah, no, it's and then they, you know, have palm kernel oil. They have other derivatives. So even if this is like vegetable oil, you don't really know, because palm oil is essentially vegetable oil because it comes from the palm plant. So it's an African palm plant. They're planting in Borneo, and they're knocking down the rainforest. They're burning it. They're doing whatever they can to clear the rainforest, which I believe has probably every cure to every disease, you know, out there. So I think that if we're doing this to the rainforest, how are we going to have, you know, where are these cures going to be coming from?
Yeah.
Because most of the cures for these diseases come from plants. So, and there's so many undiscovered plants in the rainforest. So it's just unfortunate. And they clear 3 football fields every hour in Borneo. And and 97% of orangutans have been decimated because that's where they live. So they have nowhere to live, and they have bounties put on their heads.
Really?
So their families, the family units, and they kill the mother and father, and then they take the babies and they sell them on the black market.
Wow.
It's really
Why do people
really
buy the monkeys?
The baby chimps. I'm sorry, the baby orangutans, just because, just to have them as pets.
To have an animal or something.
For the exotic pet trade, which is another, it's $20 billion industry, the exotic trade of endangered species.
Right, and that's illegal, animals. Right? It's unlawful.
It's illegal, $20 billion.
Wow.
Yeah, it's just, and people, why don't people know about this?
Yeah.
You know, because we're not the only species on the planet.
Right.
You know, there's 8.7 million other ones. I mean, up to 100 million, but really the ones that we found are 8.7 million.
Really?
Yeah,
species?
8.7 million species. Wow. Well, that includes insects and things like that. There's a ton of insects and a lot of birds.
Yeah,
but
I mean,
what are we going to do? Yeah. You know, we have, it's our job.
Yeah.
You know, as a topic.
So does the film also come up with alternatives? I mean, with
solutions. Yeah, the whole end of the film. Every person that was interviewed, every celebrity, every head of the animal welfare organizations, like from Born Free to California Wildlife Center to Tippi to Rick O'Berry, they all give a solution of what you can do to make a difference. So you know, whether you just want to recycle, reduce, reuse, so it doesn't go in the ocean, whether you want to organize beach cleanups or canyon cleanups, whether you want to volunteer at your local shelter or wildlife rehabilitator. There's tons in California.
Yeah.
The California Wildlife Center is amazing in Malibu, and you can go. They rescue 5,000 animals per year, and they rescue anything from baby mountain lions to, pelicans to sea lions. And there's a sea lion issue happening right now.
Really?
Off the coast. It's really bad.
What's the issue?
Well, they think that it's the radiation from Japan coming over and killing all the fish.
Wow.
Or overfishing and pollution.
So they're just dying off?
They're just so emaciated.
Really?
They're so emaciated. A full-grown sea lion could be upwards of, 250 pounds up to, it depends, you know, and these babies are coming in at like 90 pounds.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And they're supposed to be 250.
Wow. So all kinds of things are happening.
A lot of people just don't know.
Yeah.
You know, the only reason I know is because I'm in it. I'm immersed in it.
Well, what would you say to, like, people, you know, obviously we're facing so much going on in our country and the world right now, like, politics-wise alone. How would you put this at the forefront?
You know, I would say I put it at the forefront because all these other things wouldn't exist if we weren't healthy, if our planet wasn't healthy. So none of the politics and any of that matter if we don't have a place to live that is safe, that is secure, that is healthy, that, you know, clean drinking water, you know, enough food to eat, if our oceans aren't clean, if we don't have air to breathe, if we don't have enough trees, we're not able to survive.
Right. These are just the bare basics.
So if our children don't know about how to save this planet, what are we going to do? We're going extinct.
Right. So we need to teach them.
So, I mean, that to be honest, that should be the number one thing that's right. taught in schools. I there's a lot of other really important things, like, okay, history is important, I get it, math's important, but look, none of that would matter or exist if it wasn't for the health of our planet,
right,
and our animals, because we a lot of people eat animals, so it's, and they, you know, we have them in our everyday life, from pets to food to, I mean, if you think about how much we really use animals, it's every single moment of every single day, pretty much. True.
Yeah, yeah.
Think about it.
And you're right. And we have to share the space with them, you
we
know?
We have
I
to,
mean?
Yeah.
And nature has made a lot of animals really cute, so we would like and take care of them, just like
the
babies,
love,
right?
Yeah, the cute ones and ugly ones and all of them. I love them all.
But I mean, you look at a puppy with these eyes and you go, God. My God, you know?
They're just so cute. Yeah, you guys should come up to the California Wildlife Center.
Really?
Yes.
So you spend time there and stuff?
I do. Yeah. Yeah. It's really? Amazing. You know, they just do such great work. And their vet, Dwayne Tom, is also in Give Me Shelter. And he literally spends his whole life. He's on call in case somebody hits a mountain lion with a car in Malibu. Or, I mean, it's horrible. There's only 10 left in the Santa Monica Mountains right now.
Really?
Because they keep getting hit by cars.
Wow.
It's horrible.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, they can't just put, I mean, a fence around. Like, I mean, I don't know. No, not to keep them in captivity, but, like, to keep them off the streets. Cause
no, I mean, they're just, you know, they're just all in that mountain range in Santa Monica Mountains. And then there's one in Griffith Park that's been able to survive, which is amazing. I don't know how he made it over.
And he's all by himself?
He's all by himself. I don't know how he made it all the way over the 101, the 405 from the Santa Monica Mountains to Griffith Park. How did he do that? I mean, without getting hit.
Yeah.
So, and there's a big community that are rehabilitating these mountain lions because they're the apex predator. And, you know, without them, then all the other species are going to be out of control. So, and bobcats too. You know, we have a campaign with social compassion legislation. We're doing a big billboard on actually the 20th. It's coming out. And it's for a bill that we're trying to pass to end bobcat trapping.
Yeah.
So.
Wow, sounds good.
Yeah.
Now, in your, does this consume all of your time, or do you have some other work?
You're busy with this.
Pretty much.
There's
pretty
a lot
much.
Of animal species out there.
A lot of species, yeah. No, right. I mean, my idea is, as much as I do enjoy the entertainment business, is like, I'm trying to figure out the best way to mainstream it. So
right.
How do we get more TV shows about it? How do we have more documentaries made about it? To make it cool to care. And not just about animals, about the environment, about the planet.
Right.
So, yeah, we're organizing a beach cleanup on the 2nd of August in Malibu. So I'd love for you guys to come to that. Got a lot of different events coming up. So
really?
Yeah.
So how can people find out about all the events?
Yeah. You know, you actually, if you want to follow me on Instagram, it's Katie Cleary 11. You can follow Peace for Animals as well. Give Me Shelters on there. And World Animal News is a radio show I had for a year and a half that I'm actually not doing any longer. But I'm developing the site to be the CNN for animals. So, if you want to visit worldanimalnews.com, Peace, the number 4, animals.net. And then, of course, Give Me Shelter site. And I'm all over social media, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. So Give Me Shelter, the website, again, is give-me-shelter.com. And we're not talking about the Rolling Stones movie.
No. That's Give Me Shelter.
Right.
I love that song. I love that song.
Yeah. They had a whole movie on that.
I know. Everyone's like, that sounds really familiar. I'm like, oh, I wish I had that song to put in the film. But
right. But that was Gimme, not Give Me. So,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I see you won some awards as well.
Yes.
That's very cool.
Thanks.
What are some of the awards you got?
Two in Jakarta, Indonesia, because of the palm oil.
Oh, really?
And I was like, why am I getting awards from Jakarta? I'm thinking to myself, one was for Peace, Love, and Equality, which was super cool, and then one was like an environmental film festival. And I think it's because we highlighted a lot of what's happening in Indonesia. So
yeah, you've touched a nerve there.
Yeah, and Studio City Film Festival, Los Angeles Cinema Festival, and then one other one. Yeah, so using a system where you could submit to a lot of different, you know, film festivals kind of at once. And then you have the press kit, everything's kind of combined, and then you just never know what happens. So
right.
It's like a surprise, like, oh, you won this award. You went, okay, great, awesome. Can you come here? We'll fly you out to Jakarta. I was like, oh, geez, I don't know if I can. There's a lot of stuff going on. But yeah, so Yeah, I hope to make many more films. I really do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So far, so good on your first film.
You know, I don't know. I don't do anything half-assed, so I can't. I'm Virgo, so I've got to do everything, like, you know.
Great.
Yeah.
Now, do you guys have, like, any opponents? I mean, obviously, right? Like, I know the Sea Shepherd we were talking about, they're constantly, like, in confrontation with fishermen and things like that.
Yeah.
Do you guys encounter these things as well?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we had a campaign, actually, to mention their name, but against the Kardashians because they were selling fur in their stores, and they did the anti-fur campaign for PETA, but we found out they were selling dog fur. From China.
Really?
Yeah. And so
did they know that?
Their undercover video. Well, now they know.
Yeah. Huh?
And so, you know, we took the pictures. We did a whole campaign, Joanna Krupa and I. This was years ago. And then 2 months after we did the campaign, we got 150,000 signatures. We brought it to their store. They actually, you know, happened to be leaving town that day, of course. They knew we were coming. And some people were coming out of the store, and they confronted us because they're like, look, they're not selling fur. I'm like, look, I've got all the evidence of them selling fur. You can't do an anti-fur campaign and then sell fur in your store, let alone dog fur.
Right.
You know. And so 2 months later, they shut down, and then they moved their store, Dash, to West Hollywood. They opened up in West Hollywood, and we passed the fur-free bill actually a year before that, so they weren't able to sell fur because a lot of it comes from China.
Yeah?
Yeah, and a lot of it is dogs and cats.
Yeah.
And they mislabel it.
Those Chinese, there's no limit, you know?
Which is so weird, because aren't they like a Buddhist culture, or like there's some kind of...
You know, I think it's mixed, yeah.
Yeah, there's a... Might be you'd imagine with a billion people, there's a lot of different things,
a lot of different cultures and traditions, and I just don't know. I mean, how could you wake up every morning and say, this is my job, this is what I do? I mean, there's got to be alternatives to skinning animals alive and using cats and dogs in the meat trade and all the horrible things with, you know, what's happening with ivory and rhino horn. And we don't need this. This is like, are we going to keep a tradition that really has no medicinal purpose, or are we going to have an animal go extinct?
Yeah.
Like what, you know, there's no toss up with this. It's like saving the species, the Chinese ancient medicine. Okay. That was all good and grand 100 years ago when there was millions of animals, but now, we're coming down to the wire here.
Yeah.
If we don't do something, they're gone. And we can't reintroduce them into the wild.
Yeah.
Once they're in captivity, it's...
Really, that's it, right? No, they can't fend for themselves anymore.
No, I mean, because then they don't learn from their parents. They don't, you know... They don't know. I mean, there's instinctual things, I'm sure, that will kick in, but they've already tried it with chimps, and it hasn't.
Yeah,
It hasn't.
Well, we
worked.
Domesticate them, and then they can be in the wild.
And they imprint on humans. So once they imprint on humans, it's like they look to us for food, and then food, and then it you know, causes a huge issue with them looking to us and going to
then
us.
They're dependent,
and then they're dependent, and then people, you know, mistake that and say, "Oh my God, this animal's coming after me," or they feed that. It's just it creates a whole mess.
Yeah.
And so I would love to reintroduce them into the wild. I think that would be amazing, but they've tried.
Yeah.
They haven't succeeded.
Doesn't work. And they'd probably be killed too once they're out there, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, they did it in Liberia with chimps. And a whole group of chimps that were rehabilitated. This guy from the UK did it. And the silverback from another group didn't kill the silverback, got in a fight with the silverback from the group that was just released and killed all the babies and all the females. And so, it was horrible. All of them got killed, and it was like a group of 11.
Yeah.
That could have...
Yeah, well, thank goodness for people like you who are bringing this to our awareness, you know, and
thank you,
make it...
Thanks for having me on.
Enlightening us about all this stuff in the film as well.
Yeah.
Give Me Shelter is the movie. Again, give-me-shelter.com. And the creator and producer, Katie Cleary, you can find you on the internet, right?
Yeah.
You said on social networks and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And the website again for the... you mentioned the Malibu Center, right?
Yeah, the California Wildlife Center. They're amazing. Yeah. They're actually right off of Payuma on Malibu Road. And I mean, honestly, it's not open to the public, but you can find days, you know, that you're able to go. There's certain open houses and things like that. But if you do find an animal, though, on the street, you can bring it there.
Oh,
so, if you guys want to come, you can come with me and take
a tour. I would love to.
But,
and also, what the beach cleanup, August 2nd?
August 2nd will be the beach cleanup. And I'm going to put on the social media. We're just kind of finalizing some details, and we've got a lot of great organizations involved. And so it's our first beach cleanup, which would be great.
Wow.
And then we've got that. Take a look at, well, the billboard's coming out soon, so I can't wait for you guys to see it.
It's Well, kudos to you for doing this. You know, I mean, we need more people that really care and stuff, because it's not something that you have to do, you know?
Right.
But, like getting a job or anything. But this is like, I'm going to go out of my way to save these animals and save the planet and stuff, you know.
I feel like it's my job, though, for some reason. I don't know why.
Yeah, just, no, it's good. I mean, you were born for that.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a calling, definitely. Definitely.
Awesome. Well, now you're a filmmaker as well, and that's cool.
Hopefully many more to come, definitely. Awesome. And if people want to make a donation to, you know, we definitely need help with more campaigns and, you know, possibly doing the second movie. I would love to for people to support us. It's peace4animals.net.
Okay, so. peace4animals.net. Go ahead and help out. Katie, thank you so much for joining
us. Thank you, thank you.
And enlightening us and everything. And thanks for saving all the animals for us.
Thank you so much.
Of course. And Jen, this is a Friday.
Happy Friday, Sam.
Thank you. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you on Monday.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.